Jesus and his disciples had just finished eating the Passover meal and had gone out to the Mount of Olives. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. This concludes the reading. You may sit down.
Thank you, Dick. We began this series with Proverbs 4:23, "Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." How many of you have either in your pocket or in your purse something like this? Anyone? Yeah, why do we carry these things? So we can go home. Sometimes just to start the car, but often most of the reason that we have keys is because we want to guard our stuff. Right? Most of the keys that I have are to lock up certain places so not anybody can just wander into my house or my car or the church and be able to take anything that they want. Most of us on a daily basis pay attention to guarding our things. Before you go to bed, maybe you make sure all the doors are locked. When you leave your car, you beep it or you check it to make sure that those doors are locked. We spend a lot of our life invested in protecting our things, and we tend to do fairly well with that. Chances are, most of us hopefully have gone a long time since the last time we were robbed. It's been years for me. I'm hoping to keep pressing that out a little bit longer, right? That's the goal that we have. We spend far more time and energy protecting our stuff than we do protecting our heart. Stuff is replaceable. Everything that has ever been stolen from me, I was able to replace without too much effort. The things that have been stolen out of my heart sometimes damage me for decades afterward. Right, so this is God's desire for us to learn how to protect it. So I'm going to ask you, you can do this on your own. Would love for you to do it in a group if you're open and acceptable to that. I want you to think about a couple gate problems. So you see the image up there, right? There is a problem with the gate, which is that it's broken down. The gate is non-functional to stop anything from coming in or out. Why might that be a problem if that's the gate of your heart? Not the gate of your house, but the gate of your heart. Why might it be a problem if that gate is broken down? Either on your own or talking to someone else. Like, here's one problem that might come about if my heart has a broken gate around it. Right? Just talk among yourselves. Come up with at least one or two things. This is what problems might come if there's no way to shut that gate. All right, let's maybe get an answer or two back. What's something that you came up with? What's a problem if you have no gate on your heart? It's all broken down. Oh, you talk fine to each other. You can talk to me too. If you hear bad words, they become a part of your vocabulary, right? What's... Yeah, you have no choice over what gets to come into your heart or what doesn't come into your heart. Yeah. And that means there's no protection over that, right? There's no damage, right? Basic ideas, yeah? No filter, yeah? All the same kind of idea. There's nothing to restrict whatever comes into my heart. right? We don't allow that for our houses. We don't allow that for our bank accounts, right? We have passwords and all that other protection on there. It seems legitimate to have the same kind of thing over our heart as well. All right, next image, we'll look at another gate problem that we could possibly have. Next image, Ron. There we go. Another gate problem, right? So this is a problem on the other side, right? It's not a problem of the gate being broken down, but it's a problem of the gate being nailed shut. There is no way for anything to ever enter into that heart at all. So once again, either on your own or as a group, like, what's a problem that might come about if I have nailed that thing completely shut? What are some thoughts you guys have? What's the problem if we nail it shut? Yeah, nothing good can come in, right? Yeah. Anyone else? You're on your own. Yeah. So we've talked before about backpacks and boulders. If you have a boulder in your life that's larger than you, and you've nailed shut every boundary around you, then you're going to face that boulder on your own. And there's nobody that's going to be able to help you. There is no outside wisdom that will come in. There's no outside support that's going to come in. Whatever wisdom you have up here is all you got. And you're not able to see anything beyond where you are. Right? So both of those are problems that come when we have these gates that are either fully open and anything can come in, or they're shut down completely. Can you begin to look in your own life and see some of those tendencies in yourself? I know for me, I'm not fully one way or the other. Some individuals tend to be really radically one way or the other. A lot of us tend to do that in different relationships. In my family, I have a broken down gate. My tendency is very much to struggle to set boundaries within my own immediate family. To a lesser degree, I struggle to do that in the church. My boundaries are really strong and really, really solid, almost too much shut out in the community at times. And really, really firm there. So that differs for me depending on where I am. Maybe it does for you too. But we understand that if we're going to have healthy boundaries, boundaries are not isolating us. They allow a way for things to come in and out. But then that gate becomes really, really important. Right? If the rest of the wall is solid, it's the gate that is the key issue. If you're besieging a city, it's always the gate that gets the energy and the attention, because that's where you can either break things in or lock things out. Right, so we want to understand that a little bit for us this morning. So very simply, if you have a boundary around you, you need a gate that has hinges. There has to be a way for something good to come into that gate. So the reading that we had, that Dick read for us, was Peter and Jesus having a conversation before Jesus goes to the garden and is betrayed, and Peter denies him three times. Jesus has come to the gate of Peter's heart, and he said, hey, I have information for you that you are going to deny me. I thought you ought to know ahead of time so that maybe you could change your behavior. Maybe you could come and ask for help because it's a boulder. Maybe something could be different, right? What does Peter do? He says, I don't have any room for that. I'm nailing that door shut. No information is going to come in. That seems negative about me. That seems oppressive about me. That's not the thing I want to hear at all. No, I'm not going to listen to you, Jesus. And Jesus comes back again like, no, it really will happen. And I'd love for you to listen. This is good wisdom for you. And Peter says, no, not listening at all. Out of that situation you have for Peter, maybe one of the most tragic and wounding experiences of his whole life. Both personally, to know that in Jesus' time of greatest need, I denied that I knew him three times in a row. But also in a very public way, because that now has been recorded in Scripture, and anyone who's ever followed Jesus has read that story and knows that weakness and that frailty of Peter. So as much as he may be honored by others at times, we all know his moment of shame too. Right, all of that came about because he wasn't able to have a hinge that said, maybe I need to let some wisdom in. Maybe someone else has an idea that's good for me. Now, was it information he was excited to hear? Not really. Like, none of us wants to hear that we're going to betray a good friend, right? None of us are really excited to hear that, right? It doesn't mean that it's happy or positive. We have to be open to hear truth, whether it feels good or doesn't, right? So there has to be a hinge that information can come in, or we're flying blind along that way. And we also need to have a boundary that has a solid lock on it. There has to be a way to say no to ideas or thoughts or other things that come in. So earlier on in the story of Jesus, we find this situation where this woman named Salome, this young girl, dances before her stepdad. And he is so appreciative. He says, "You dance so beautifully. I will give you whatever you ask, up to half of my kingdom." So he's the king, which makes that a pretty generous offer, right? So Salome is saying, "All right, I have this opportunity to get something pretty amazing." And she does what seems reasonable. She goes and asks her mom, "Mom, give me some advice," right? It's not every day a king says, "You can have half of my kingdom. What are you going to pick? I want to make a really good choice." And mom comes back to Salome and says, "I have the perfect gift for you to ask for." All right, what does she ask for? Yeah, she says, I'd like you to ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Now, I am pretty sure, as I read through the story, that is not Salome's personal desire, right? That's not in her own backpack. She has not been yearning for that all of her life. That's not her own hunger. It's not her own emotions. It's none of those things. All of that is external, right? Mom came to the door and said, "Here's what you need to do." And Salome lacked a lock that would be able to say, "No, thank you, Mom. I'm going to ask for the pony with the braided mane." Right? That's what I want. I'm going to ask for the 12 pretty dresses. I'm going to ask for whatever it was that filled my heart. Whatever it was that when I heard that offer was there, I first went to and said, "That's what I want to get." She lacked the ability to set that boundary in place. And because of that, obviously, a horrific thing happened to John, but for her too, right? Because now, because of her mother's pressure on her, she's implicated in a horrific murder of an innocent man. Will she ever forget that the rest of her life? No. Right? So these are really stark examples, but what I'd like you to see is that in every page of Scripture, this is the template that exists. Right, there are always voices around us speaking, and all of Scripture is designed to say, are you listening to the right voice? The voice of health, the voice of healing, the voice of wisdom, or are you listening to the wrong voice? The voice that will destroy you, the voice that will lead you astray. This whole concept of how do we understand where do I open my gate and where do I lock it up tight, is the essence of Proverbs, is the essence of all of Scripture that's designed to say, how do I have a life that is filled with hope, that is filled with joy, that's filled with peace, as opposed to a life that's filled with regret or with frustration or with anxiety? This is the linchpin for all of that, right? So this is maybe a good point to grab some guidelines again about how do we begin to figure out when do I open my gate and let good things come in. And how do I know when to lock that gate? How do I gain that place of discernment? Probably bigger than just one sermon, but we'll wrestle around with a few things as we get there. One thing I want you to understand as we dig into that is that nobody does this perfectly. Right, there's not a person here who can say, in all of my life, I've only let in good things, and I've always rejected everything that was a lie or a deception or an untruth. Right? Nobody can raise their hand and say, I've got a perfect record of discernment. Right, so we enter into this with a lot of humility and a recognition that says, I really need help with this because I mess it up a lot. So along those lines, what I would love for you to know is that just because you've opened a door to a voice before and you've allowed it in doesn't mean it always gets to stay there. Just because in the past you've let in a voice that has been destructive to you doesn't mean the voice gets to stay. And most of us have voices that we let in the past because of outside pressure, because we didn't hold good boundaries and didn't even have a clue or understand what that was. And those voices remain inside of us, and they have incredible power over us, right? They're voices maybe that etch all the way back to childhood that say, you are stupid. You're worthless. You're fat. You'll never be a success. You're a waste of time. Nobody will ever truly love you. Right? And a whole litany of other ones, you can fill in the blanks wherever those things are. And just because you've let the voice in at some point doesn't mean it gets to stay. At any moment of your life, you can reset a boundary and say, that voice now is outside and I have a lock. And it doesn't get to define the person that I am, because our boundaries define us. And that's who God's made us to be. We are not all the same individual, are we? Is there any other person in existence just like you? God made you that way. God wants to keep you that way. He doesn't want you to be defined and controlled by others. He wants you to remain in your uniqueness, right? So here's a few guidelines along the way. The first one comes right out of humility, and that is that Jesus needs to control that gate. There has to be some point in your life that Proverbs 3:5 begins to be operational. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in who? The Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on what? Your own understanding. Here is that place of humility that again says, God, if I leave it up to me to decide what comes in and out of that gate, I will make poor choices. 2 Corinthians has this conversation about spiritual warfare, but it gives this really essential truth for us. We are invited by Paul to take every thought captive. That is before it comes into your boundaries. So we need to develop this habit and this pattern that when a thought comes to us, we hold it outside the boundaries, put it in its own little jail, and then we say, Jesus, you pick. Does this get to come in? Am I really a fat slob? Right? I'm holding that outside my boundaries. It's not getting to my heart unless Jesus says it gets to come into my heart. But he gets to make the call on that, not me. Right? If someone's like, you really need to spend more time with me, you're not really investing in this relationship enough, I lock that up outside and I say, hey, maybe it's valid, maybe it's not, I don't know. I'm letting Jesus decide if that's really true and I need to invest more in that relationship, or if that's manipulation and someone who's using their own emotions to try to get a hold of my own stuff. I can't decide it on my own. I let Jesus begin to do those things. So that habit and that pattern over and over again, it's probably impossible. At least I've never gotten to the point that I can do that with every single thing. But when you come to those bigger emotional moments, to be able to put the brakes on, say, you don't get to bring that in. You don't legitimately get to say that about me. You're too emotional. You make the wrong choices about this. I wish you'd always do that. You're such a whatever it is. To hold that outside of yourself, not in your heart, to lock it up and say only Jesus gets to decide if that's really going to come in or not. How do we know if Jesus does, right? We have a range of things. We've talked about that before. We can brush over those right now. Obviously, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. So there's a place of prayer to come back and say, is this really from you, right? The Bible's filled with people that did that, right? Gideon, this voice came to him and said, hey, I'd like you to go fight the Midianites. He's like, is that really from God or really not? I don't know. Put it in a little box. He locked it all up, kept that thought captive, and he brought it back to God and said, I'm not sure if this is you or not. Will you speak it again to me? Will you give me clarity? And so God uses his spirit to do that. God's going to use his word to do that. So if we hear something that's destructive or a lie about us, and Jesus says that in his word, then we can say, I know that's not coming in. That isn't true about me. I have a boundary that protects my heart. Jesus gave me that, right? We have other Christians that can help provide that insight too. Always with caution, right? So that you're not just picking people you think will agree with whatever your heart emotion is. Because when Peter gathered with the other disciples and he looked around at them and said, we're not denying him, are we? And they all said, nope, we're not doing it. Right? That wasn't a great audience for him to check in with. But to come to that point that says, do I know that I've kept this thought captive and let Jesus decide where these things go within there? Is an essential skill for us to learn. That we don't just let thoughts and ideas and identity come and fill our own hearts in the middle of that. The second guideline is hurt versus harm. I think the image may be too hard for you guys to read. It's these two cute little girls holding each other. It's a quote from Proverbs 27, verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be what? Does anyone know? It's a really great verse. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. It is a profound truth for you. If you have someone who is your friend, and they decide to stick a rattlesnake in your bed and videotape the result so they can post it online and get a lot of likes, you should unfriend them. If you have a friend that pushes you hard and suddenly, and you fall and are bloodied and bruised as a result, but they have kept you from being hit by a car, you should keep them as a friend. Right? You need friends like that. And we all need friends that are able to speak truth into our hearts, that can wound us in the proper moment, in the proper time. Not in a way that is destructive for us, but in a way that they can say, you do need some correction. I need you to see what you're doing to impact other people. I need to open your eyes a bit. We all need friends that we can trust like that. And that is a differentiation between hurt and harm. Being pushed by your friend out of the way of the car hurts. Does it harm you? No. Rattlesnake in your bed, yeah, that's just going to harm you. That's all it is, right? So it's understanding that distinction. And again, this is all that discernment. Whatever it is, it's at my gate that I'm waiting to see, should this come in or not, right? Is this a hurt that is helpful for me? Is this a healing kind of thing that happens? Or is it just going to harm me? Is it just going to destroy me? Is it just going to tear me down? There are things that Jesus says that often seem hurtful when they first come about it. Right? Following after Jesus is not this easy kind of street. I got a text message from my sister-in-law this week. I had contacted her months ago, and what I had told her is, I would like for you to open up your home and take somebody into your house that you have never met before and let her live with you for a while. That doesn't seem very fun, doesn't seem very easy, right? I mean, that's my own schedule, my own house, my own castle, all these other things. There's a whole lot of caution about that. And she rightfully kind of kept that a captive outside. Said, Jesus, I got to know if this is really from you or not. I don't really know. It doesn't seem really comfortable for me. She got a confirmation that that was from Jesus, and she just texted me back yesterday with this really long text that said, thank you so much. This relationship has been so beautiful for my family, for my husband and I, for the girls that we have. We are going to miss now that she has to go away again, but it has profoundly impacted us. This is what it's like when you follow Jesus. Rarely will it seem easy. Almost always there's some degree of hurt or cost involved in it, but at the end of the day, it won't harm you at all. It'll make life strong, it'll make it beautiful, it'll make it rich. Like, that's the distinction to know. Right? Peter kept out a hurtful message and ended up getting harmed because of that. Go through all of Scripture, right? Same thing. Joseph, way back in the Old Testament, he is a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife comes to him and offers herself completely to him. Right, there's a voice that says, here's this good thing for you, right? You can have all these things. And he shuts that out, and he gets sent to prison because of it. Is that hurt or harm? It's hurt, right? It gets difficult to see, because you have to see a couple years later when God begins to honor him again. But he recognizes, even if I stay in prison, I'm still not harmed because I'm right in my relationship with God. And I haven't betrayed him. And if I'd fallen into that and listened to that other voice, I would have betrayed this gift of God. So knowing, is this just hurting me? That's okay. Right? Just a voice that might hurt us is okay to let in. If it's going to harm us, then we need to shut those things out. So for this one, this rarely happens. I just kind of take all this choice on my own. But on this one, I'm going to give you a little choose-your-own-adventure slash background image. As we talk about waiting, Ron, you can show first, you have the bear one first, right? So we're second service, we're going to let the confirmation kids choose. For this one, we're just going to do a show of hands, right? So you have the bear image. Next image, Ron, is dog image. Both are kind of waiting, so just a quick show of hands. We'll stick with that image for you. Those of you that want to use the bear image. Okay, those of you that want the dog image. All right, we're going with dog image then. There we go. You get to choose your own. So 1 Corinthians 13 defines love as being what? What's the first quality of love? Love is patient. Right? So hold those ideas, those thoughts, those whatever outside of yourself and be patient. If you hear someone, right, calling you up or you hear it blaring on your TV, right, one day only, you have to buy today or the deal is gone completely. Do you listen to that voice? I sure hope not. Right? Anybody that says it's got to be this super urgent is probably not a voice that you should listen to, because love is patient. And somebody that says, I have information for you, I have something I want to share with you, but I'm open, you can wait and find your time for that. That's probably one that you can listen to. Right? If you say, I need to wait and think about that for a little bit, I'm not sure, and they begin to pressure you, right, and put all that pressure, no, you have to tell me now, you have to answer me right now, then that's probably not a voice that you need to be listening to. And if their response when you say, I'm not sure right now, is that's okay, I want you to take time and make your own choice on that, then that's probably a voice that you can listen to. We go back again to Jesus, right? Revelation 3:20, he stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't force his way in. He's just like that dog, right? He's waiting. I have something good for you, and whenever it's time, you can come out and get it. But I'll wait here as long as it takes, right? That is love. It says, I'm available for you. So as we look at this essential need to have discernment in our lives about what comes into our heart, right? We want to focus on saying, I want Jesus to take captive those thoughts. And he decides what I get to listen to, what I don't. That I want to really be discerning. Am I holding it out just because I think it might hurt or because it really will harm me? Hurt is okay. Nobody grows without some kind of hurt at some level. And then do I just need to wait a bit? If it really is love, if it's really good, I can wait for a while and it'll still be there waiting for me. As we finish up this time today, I just want a really practical place for you to look inside your own life for a moment and be able to identify the voices that you have there. Are there any voices that you can say, first of all, these are voices that I can trust? I don't need to lock the gate for them. These are voices of people, of God, whatever in my life that I can say, I can let them have some access to my heart. They bring good things to me. You should have some. If you cannot think of any, that's not healthy. You should not have tons. If you can think of 20, if you can think of 10, you probably have too little boundaries in your life. All right, so take a moment just, again, on your own. Here are a couple that I can say, yeah, I trust those. And they have access to my heart. Who are those individuals for you? It'll be different for all of us. And then take a moment to do the opposite. And just look in your own life and say, what are the voices that I need to lock out? They don't get in until Jesus says they get in, right? They don't even get the chance to speak to me. Once again, you should have some. If you've lived long enough, you should know these are voices. Whether they flow out of media, whether they flow out of your own mind, whether they flow from neighbors or family members around you, right? I can't trust them. They're manipulative. They're trying to control. They're deceitful. They're always trying to push around on my boundaries. I cannot trust them. You should be able to identify some. And again, you should not have tons. If you can list off 20 people, then you've either really been damaged, which may be true, but then you need to learn how to keep some of those people at bay a little bit better, right? So if identify some, at least you can say these are voices that don't get access unless Jesus purposely and clearly says this one is good. Jesus, we thank you again that you desire to protect our hearts. And I pray that we would hunger after that protection as much as the protection of any of our stuff. I know that knowing what gets to come in and what doesn't is really essential for us. I don't even do this well, God. So with equal passion, I just cry out that you would help us to learn. Help me, help all of us to stop shutting out the voices that are good just because they're uncomfortable or I don't want to listen to what they're saying. God, I pray that every person here would find not only the voice of God, but the voice of at least a few human beings that are trustworthy and faithful. Help us to discern what those are, God. And I ask Jesus, too, that you would give us clarity on the voices that maybe we let in too easily, that need to stay out. That maybe you've spent a long time in our life tearing us down and destroying us and don't have any valid point to speak into our identity. Help us to discern that, God, and know how to hold that boundary firm so that they stay outside of our hearts. So we get to be fully the people that you've made us to be. And we pray that in your name. Amen.
In this space of